need to, at least for the first message, to read the bulk of this chapter and have it before your mind for your understanding as we begin our study of John chapter 11. I am reading from the King James Version. As you know, I am not averse to reading from other versions and often love to read from the Geneva Bible, which predates, of course, the King James Bible. But I think that the reading is best done from this text in the King James Version. John chapter 11, and beginning to read together at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, literally translated, listen, very emphatic that word in the Greek, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. These things said he. And after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them, plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave for 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. And Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, comforted her. When they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out following her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. He hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stood by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. When he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees to counsel and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest the same year, said unto them, Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he, not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. We turn to that text in a moment for our study together. Before we do, stand with me, please, and we sing. We come back this morning to our studies in the gospel record according to John and this 11th chapter of the gospel record. By way of a general introduction to this chapter, I would like to acknowledge right at the outset two general points in order for you to understand how the study will be characterized as we look at this chapter. First of all, I will give to you a survey, if you please, of our method by which we will view this chapter. I intend to take this chapter in three or possibly four sermons in which I will address our hearts, God willing, first to the saint, and then secondly in another sermon to the sinner, and thirdly in another sermon to the servants, and finally possibly, maybe a fourth sermon on some more general considerations. I may truly say of my sermons from this chapter that these messages will be characterized in the same way in which Thomas Watson characterized another passage, some messages he brought from another passage of Scripture in The Art of Divine Contentment. In by way of introduction, Thomas Watson said of those messages, although they are not dressed in that rich attire of eloquence as they might have been, I am not aiming at poetry or oratory, but divinity. Nor is this intended for fancy, but for practice in holiness. And I may truly take that testimony for my own in our dealings with this 11th chapter of the Gospel of John. I'm sure I have written sermons in which there may be somewhat better oratory, but I have never approached a text in which I desire more plain and practical godliness than from this text. In a second general statement concerning our study, I want to acknowledge that it would be impossible for me to extract the full load of precious gems that are buried in this glorious mine. It would be impossible to do in less than several months of preaching. And I will, no doubt, leave many lustrous gems untouched, which I trust our Heavenly Father will render up to your own hearts in your private study, even as we will move on apace. The chapter we will now begin is one of the most remarkable in the New Testament, many commentators have said. Some have claimed that this text of Scripture is the greatest chapter in all the gospel records. I personally don't hold that view, although I think in my personal study, it is probably the second most amazing chapter. I personally hold that the most amazing chapter is that 17th chapter of John, in which we have that great window into the soul of our Savior as He communes with none other than His own Father in private prayer. Surely this is the most holy ground of all the gospel records. But this 11th chapter is indeed a great and amazing chapter for grandeur and simplicity, for pathos and solemnity. Nothing was ever written like it. It describes a miracle which is not recorded in any of the other Gospels. The raising of Lazarus from the dead. Nowhere shall we find such convincing proofs of our Lord's divine power. As God, He makes the grave itself yield up its tenants. Nowhere else shall we find such striking illustrations of our Lord's passion and sympathy for His people. He is touched here as nowhere else in the gospel record with the feelings of our infirmities, indeed, our greatest infirmity, death. And it's only fitting that this great victory of His be displayed at Bethany should come so closely to precede His greatest victory at Calvary, which is only too soon to come. So then, this morning, I want to say a few words to our hearts, if I may, first to the saints. Those who, by God's amazing grace, have been made followers of Christ, pupils in His school of divinity, and servants in His kingdom of purity. For these, I want to consider this morning, as you saw written in your bulletin, from this text of Scripture to the saints, I would like to consider when God delays to come. Surely this is one of the grandest lessons to be taught to every saint in the school of Christ's Academy when God delays to come. A week or so ago at the table, I shared with my wife and Lachlan that I had entitled the message that I was writing, "When God Delays to Come," and without an instant of delay, Lachlan responded and said, "Papa, God never delays. He's just on a different time schedule." True and great divinity that is. Would that my own heart could get a hold of it. Nevertheless, there is a sense in which in our heart, in our experience, God delays to come. As I penned this message and studied and prayed and labored over this text, I go through in my mind every day, every saint, every sheep, every member of this church. There's not a member in this church that is not at this very moment waiting for God for something. And so how appropriate that we may consider from this text of Scripture when God delays to come. What does it mean for the saint? Verse 1, "Now a certain man was named sick. A certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, town of Mary and her sister Martha, and it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto Him, saying, Lord, behold him whom Thou lovest is sick." Notice with me, verse 4. When Jesus heard that, He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sisters and Lazarus. Verse 6. "When He had heard therefore that He was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place." When God delays to come. Surely this entire lesson, as we should unfold from this text this morning, may be summarized in the words of Thomas Bolton, commenting on yet another text. He said, though all this seems to threaten ruin and tend towards confusion, yet the issue will be that God will be most merciful and will rescue and relieve His own, who afterwards will not only themselves acknowledge and magnify His miraculous hand in their support, but also stir up others to rely wholly upon the Lord. Nor will He ever fail or forsake any who put their trust in Him. And let that truth characterize our thinking as we look at when God delays to come. He may delay to come, but He will ever and always come. He will come. And He will not fail. So then from our text before us, I seek to answer this question, why is it that God delays to come? When our souls are torn asunder with grief and pain, why does God delay to come? Mary and Martha were suffering. Lazarus, apparently, we don't know from this text exactly what the malady was, but apparently it was something that caused a prolonged sickness. It wasn't a sudden death. He suffered and he suffered and he lay suffering, and his sisters that loved him so much watched him lay and suffer, and they were all suffering. Jesus didn't come. Let me suggest to you very quickly four thoughts. Why does God delay to come? Number one, for their faith to increase. For their faith to increase. Sickness, pain, tragedy, death comes even to the godliest saint. That first verse just slaps us in the face. Now a certain man was sick. This is a man that the text tells us over and over again that Jesus loved in verse 3. Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Later on, even those that viewed him at the graveside said, behold, how he loved him. But he was sick. Oh, even the greatest and godliest of saints are called to suffer. Why does God delay? Oh, because our faith is so weak and so frail and so small, and He would strengthen it by its exercise. Look at verse 14 and 15. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Verse 15, I am glad for your sakes, not for his, not for mine. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. Why not? Because there can't be any death in his presence. He'd have never died if Jesus had been there. He said, I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there, to the intent that ye may believe. I would strengthen your faith. Why does God sometimes delay when we're in pain in our heart and we're crying and we send up messengers? And He tarries yet. He tarries yet. Why? Oh. Verse 25. He said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Strengthen your faith. Strengthen your faith. Do you believe this? Oh, when in God's providence, listen to me, saint, when in God's providence in your life, the noonday sun is nothing but black darkness or over your head, when fear has seized your soul like the night terrors in a den of vipers, when the thunderstorms roll and lightnings flash with heart-stopping intensity around your head, oh, when God's word has dried up like a potsherd in the desert and His silence grips your very being with deafening intensity, oh, when God delays to come, believest thou this? Believest thou this? It isn't just such a time as this. I suggest to you that a miracle is near. Lazarus will be raised, and faith will be wrought in the place of flesh. Confidence, boldness will be wrought in your bosom by His delay. Hallelujah. Dear old Simeon said, see it in the case of Abraham and in the case of Moses. Oh, how much more visible were God's power and grace in the birth of Isaac, when he was given to Abraham after all hope of progeny had ceased, and again restored to him later, afterwards, as if from the dead. Oh, and how, says Simeon, how did every difficulty that interposed between the first message delivered to Pharaoh and the final establishment of the Hebrews in the Promised Land, how much did all that display and magnify the grace of God in that stupendous dispensation? So shall we find in all of God's dealings with us, if only we stagger not at His promises, but give Him the glory. Only let us never limit His power or doubt His veracity. Believest thou this? Even if our case appear as desperate as that of Lazarus, let us fresh courage take and never doubt, much less despond. When God delays to come. Oh, and the hours are long and the nights are dark and we weep and we cry. God delays to come that our faith might be strengthened. Listen to me, saint. Oh, when God seems to be deaf, when God seems to be deaf, and the gates of heaven seem to be made out of brass, and the assaults of hell wake our souls with violence, know this from our text. He would have us believe. And this is the anchor that holds within the veil our faith. I'm glad, he said, for your sakes, I'm glad that I wasn't there, that you might believe. We are so familiar, and yet have we contemplated the blessed words of the old gospel hymn, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said? All who unto Jesus for refuge have fled, in every condition, in sickness, in health, in poverty's veil or abounding in wealth, at home, abroad, on the land and the sea, as thy days may demand, shall thy strength ever be. Fear not, I'm with thee. Oh, be not dismayed. I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I will strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. Listen, when through the deep waters I cause thee to go, the rivers of grief shall not thee overflow. For I will be with thee in trouble and bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. Oh, when through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. The soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, when God delays to come, it is that our faith might be made stronger. William Hendrickson said, if you would understand the delay of God in verse 6, you must embrace the design of God in verse 4 and believe the promise of God in verse 40. Hallelujah. Said I not unto thee. I'll not be able to finish this message this morning anyway. So just let me give you some scripture references, saint, that'll help you in the dark of night. Deuteronomy 32, verse 36. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone, and there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock, in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. See now that I am he, and there's no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I whet my glittering sword in mine hand, take hold on judgment, I'll render vengeance on mine enemies and revenge all them that hate me. I'll make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and the captives from the beginning of revenge is upon the enemy. Verse 43, rejoice, O ye nations, with his people. For he will avenge the blood of his servants and render vengeance to him, to his adversaries, and will be merciful to his land and to his people. Hallelujah. Oh, said I not unto thee? Said I not unto thee? I'll avenge your enemies and mine, and I'll help my people. Said I not this unto thee? Oh, Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 13. Isaiah verse chapter 49, sing, O ye heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. Oh, he delays to come. The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. How many of the night have you had that heart on your heart? Oh, where is God? But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, my Lord hath forgotten me. Oh, then he says, can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. Hallelujah. Behold, I've graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. thy children shall make haste. Thy destroyers and they that made thee haste, waste, shall go forth of thee. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, I shall surely clothe thee with them all as with a garment, an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. Oh, said I not unto thee? The Lord Jesus said to Martha and Mary, said I not unto thee? Psalm chapter 1, that blessed text. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Oh, the Lord knoweth, verse 6, the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Said I not this unto thee? Said I not this unto thee? Psalm in the 4th chapter. Hear me when I call, O God, in my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayers. Know that the Lord hath set apart him that's godly for himself. The Lord will hear when he calleth unto him. Oh, listen. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart on your bed and be still. There's some good counsel for you when God delays to come. Be still. Be still. Be still. Just be still. Said I not unto thee? Said I not unto thee? Be still. I'll come. Oh, did the sweet songwriter, not say it? In chapter 1 of the Song of Solomon, in verse 2, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine, because of the savor of thy ointments, thy name is his ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me. Draw me. We will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Oh, hallelujah. Did I not say unto thee? Did I not say unto thee? My love will be like the wine. I'll call you into my chamber. When it delays to come, did he not say unto thee all these blessed, wonderful things? Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 5. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord doth. The Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil and olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou shalt hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Have not I said unto thee, I'll do this? Oh, Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha could have greatly benefited if they had turned in their old Bible back to Hosea and heard these words come in verse chapter 6, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. all those days sitting by Lazarus' side and then carried him out to the cemetery and buried him. They could have been helped with these words. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days, will he revive us? In the third day, he'll raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know. If we follow on, it is the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain upon the earth. Hallelujah. Oh, when God delays it to come, let me suggest to you, hath not I said unto thee, I'll come like the latter rain. Wait for it. Wait for it. I'll come. Said I not unto thee? Oh, chapter 40 of Isaiah's prophecy in verse 28. Said I not unto thee, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. Hallelujah. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagles, with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Said I not unto thee that I do this? Oh, I could go on and on. I'll stop there this morning. Let me just say to you, said I not. Remind yourself, oh, when the night is dark and the hours are long and you think God has forgotten you, but he delays to come. Remind yourself of what he said unto thee. Oh, my dear saint, gobble up the promises of God and fill your soul with them. While it is yet daytime, they're just as true in the darkness of your bed at night as they are in the noonday sun. They're just as sound in the throbbings of earthly pain as they are in the pleasures of heavenly comforts. They're just as solid in the hospital ward or the emergency room as they are in the church house or the chapel. Oh, they're just as strong in the throes of poverty as they are in the glitter of riches. Fill yourself with the promises of God. And when those dark hours come, remind yourself, have not I said this unto thee? Have not I said this unto thee? Said not I unto thee, Jesus said to Martha and Mary. Oh, the promises of God are sure. Psalm chapter 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Hallelujah. Fill your heart, I said. Fill your soul. Gobble up the promises of God. And when those dark hours come and God delays to come, ask yourself, soul, believest thou this? Jesus said to Mary and Martha, believest thou this? Pin the promises of God on the wall. Point to them and say to your heart, demand an answer. Believest thou this? Said not I unto thee? Oh, let not the fowls of the air come and steal away the precious seed. Go back to the book. Go back to the book. Oh, when God delays to come. You say, but you know, it's been years, months. Yes, I know. I've tried to contemplate as I studied this text what must it have been like in that little home in Bethany when they lay and watched, they sat and watched Lazarus suffer apparently for a long time before they even set off to the Lord. And finally it became apparent that the case was hopeless. And they said to him, all the pain in them, days went by. He died. They buried him. Still the Lord hadn't come. Oh, when God delays to come. We flee to the promises. Said not I unto thee, believest thou this? Go to the book. He's never failed. He never will. Believest thou this? May God help us indeed to believe it. Turn with me if you will. We'll finish the message on next week. God willing. Turn with me and stand together. We sing together these fitting words. When fears arise, hymn number 502. When fears arise and trials oppress, to test our faith and love, 'tis sweet to think on all the grace that lifts our souls above. Let's sing together, please. When fears arise and trials oppress, to test our faith and love, 'tis sweet to think on all the grace that lifts our souls above. Sweet to reflect how grace divine my sins on Jesus laid. Sweet to remember that His blood my debt of sufferings paid. Sweet in His righteousness to stand, which saves from second death. Sweet to experience day by day His Spirit's quickening breath. Sweet on His covenant of grace for all things to on His faithfulness to rest, whose love can never end. Sweet to rejoice in lively hope, that when my end shall come, angels will hover and take my spirit home. There shall my disembodied soul behold Him and adore. Be with His likeness told upon, and grieve and sin no more. If such the sweetness of the stream, what must the fountain be, where saints and angels draw their bliss directly, Lord, from Thee. For this morning, such sweetness can be brought to our hearts from the stream of promises. Oh, what must the fountain be where saints and angels draw their bliss directly, Lord, from Thee. Oh, fill us with the promises, Lord. Fill us with the promises. Help us to bring our hearts into account and demand of our soul an answer. Believest thou this? Said not I unto thee? Over and again, the word is full of promises. Oh, make me to believe. Make me to believe. How dare I to doubt, like Martha and Mary, I so like them. Faint, waiting. Doubt. Even despair and despond. Because you tarry. But you do it to your own glory. To our help. Help us to wait, Lord. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. Till I have showed Thy strength unto this generation, Thy power to every one that's to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto Thee? Help us to trust. In Jesus' name.